The Monty Show, Tuesday, April 3rd, 2018. And we've got all kinds of panic and chaos. We have huge games in the NBA tonight. Two teams that must win. I think tonight could be a make or break for several clubs trying to make the playoffs in the West. Is Devin Booker a max player? Is he worth a max contract?
Depends who you ask.
We should definitely have that discussion. The Cubs are terrible. The Nats are elite. The Padres, I don't know. My Padre prediction is winless right now. What's real and what's fake? And speaking of fake, what is Donald Trump doing to the stock market through Amazon and the Washington Post? All of that is coming up. I can't get enough of this song.
It's a great song.
Okay, again, it's called what?
So on YouTube, it's the channel Flying Tunes, which is a copyright-free channel.
Yep.
And then it's Defenses by Gravity.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Let's get to work. Make sure you find us online, themontyshow.com, M-O-N-T-Y, themontyshow.com. Every day we write a blog about what we're going to talk about on this show, every topic, funny memes, good links. Like, we have a really good time on our website, themontyshow.com, M-O-N-T-Y, themontyshow.com. Hi, Jacob.
Hello.
Let's talk big games in the NBA tonight, because I think the Jazz and Oklahoma City, the Thunder, I think they are the two teams uniquely tonight that are in must-win situations. Cavs and Raptors, Warriors, Oklahoma City, Lakers, Jazz, Spurs, and Clippers are the four big games of the night. Of those games, which is the most important game to you?
I think the one that's going on now, Cleveland and Toronto, I don't think it's, as far as importance goes for me, I'm more looking for the Raptors to prove they can actually beat the Cavs now, you know, with Kevin Love, with LeBron, and with everybody healthy. Because again, as we've talked about so much with the Warriors and the Rockets in the West, those two clubs, you know, play way better when they're healthy for obvious reasons. And so I think the last time the Raptors and the Cavs matched up, we saw a situation where the Cavs won late, and it was a thing where DeMar got shut down late and wasn't able to come through. So we were left wondering, well, was that Kevin Love coming back and being the guy and powering the Cavs, or were the Cavs actually a better team, and are they a better team? Well, right now they're a better team. They're winning the game, but it's close.
Well, I would agree that with most of what you said there. I think the really important part here is that the Cavs are healthy this time around. You have LeBron, you have Love, you have Jordan Clarkson, you have Larry Nance Jr., you have Kyle Korver, who's with the club this time. He was not last time. You have a lot of the pieces that you're going to have going forward. And at one point here, about 3 to 5 minutes ago, you had the Cleveland Cavaliers up 16 points in that game. Now, I don't think that it's going to be a blowout tonight. And right now, they're only up 8 at the half. But I think that gives us a good look inside on what this is going to be. And I think the real difference between the Cavs and the Raptors is guys like DeLon Wright. Mm-hmm. The bench, the support that the Raptors get off that bench is absolutely critical. And I think that's what makes the Raptors better. Their bench mob is fantastic.
Well, yeah, and I think that makes a huge difference in the playoffs. The teams that are deeper often go farther in the playoffs because you can rest, you know, you can rest your starters for, you know, a longer period of time, right? So instead of them coming back, you know, 2 minutes into the second quarter, they can maybe sit for, you know, 4 or 5 minutes into the second quarter. And that makes a difference over the course of the playoffs. And I think that's why Golden State has had a lot of success up until this point, right? Because they have been deep. But their role players, the Iguodalas of the world, are getting older. And so Iguodala is not capable of guarding LeBron James anymore, right? And so that's a big difference. So when we look at the Cavs and the Raptors, it is guys like DeLon Wright missing open jumpers on the wing. It is guys like Jordan Clarkson being lazy, getting back on defense and giving the Raptors an open dunk. It is stuff like that that matters, and it matters even more in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I find myself looking at this Raptors team, and they're playing 10 guys right now. And I don't know why they're playing 10 guys. I have no idea exactly, you know, why you do that, but they do it, and they do it better than everybody else does it.
Yeah.
And for my money, and again, this is just my opinion, but for my money, I do think they are the best team in the East, and I think LeBron's going to have a tough time if he wants to call himself a world champion again. If he wants to go to the NBA Finals, I think this is a year it doesn't happen. Now, having said that, I do like the fact that we have Warriors in Oklahoma City going on right now as well, because I think, again, this is another one of those must-win games out west, which, by the way, and I think we all know this, it's a far more compelling Western Conference than it is Eastern Conference. But I look at this Warriors-Oklahoma City matchup, and I say to myself, man, this is critical. This is one of those games where if you do not win this game for Oklahoma City, I think they're in real trouble of missing the playoffs, because the slide for OKC is real.
Yeah,
there's no question about that. They're not playing good basketball right now. They are 17.5 back in the West, which puts them 2.5 games to the better in their playoff position.
Yeah.
But when you're playing the Warriors, now this is a depleted Warriors team, very clearly.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the world champion Warriors team, whatever. You should win this game.
Yeah.
You're at home, you should win this game. There's no question about that.
Yep.
Charles Barkley said something interesting about your boy today, Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
He basically said that Kevin Durant's a different player. And he went to Oklahoma, he left Oklahoma City as one of the nicest guys, one of the most well-liked guys in the NBA. He's gotten to Golden State, he's won a championship, and he's turned into one of the least likable guys in the NBA.
Right.
And you piggyback that on comments that Durant's made, where he said he thought something would click inside of him when he won a championship, and that didn't happen. I don't know what to make of Kevin Durant as a human being right now. I don't know what to make of him as a guy. I guess he's in transition as a professional.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's never been in this position before, and I'm not saying the position of being on a winning team. What I'm saying is he's never been in a position where he's won a championship and accomplished everything he felt like he needed to accomplish in his career, right? And then what's after that? And I think that's kind of what he's referring to when he says something's going to click inside of me. Like, I'm going to win this championship, and yeah. Then what's the next step? Well, the next step is your legacy. The next step is defining who you were as a player in the NBA for, like, the next 50 years for all the generations to come. And I think that's really what he's struggling with, because right now, what is his legacy? He's an idiot on the court, and he won one title.
But now it's not just me sitting across from you on this crappy little podcast we do every day saying Kevin Durant's got a problem.
Well, it's never been just you. I mean, it's well known. He's been on the face of newspapers for a while now, being, you know, not in the brightest of lights. I mean, people have looked down upon him.
Charles Barkley. And Charles Barkley still carries some
water in
this league.
Charles Barkley's a loudmouth. Let's be honest about it. Right, he says a lot of stuff.
But when he's talking about a guy like Kevin Durant, and he's speaking thoughtfully, and he's speaking from the heart, and he's telling the truth, because Charles is absolutely right. Kevin Durant went from one of the most popular, likable players in the NBA in Oklahoma City to Golden State, where he won a championship, and now he's getting all these technicals and ejections. And really, he's one of the least likable guys right now today.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a fabulous human being. He's great in the community.
Well, this has nothing to do with him off the court. We're talking about on the floor,
Durant. Basketball player, yeah. Kevin Durant is one of the least likable characters today, right now in the NBA. And I don't know how you explain that.
Yeah, I mean, he's brought all that on himself. Let's be honest. I mean, losing your composure the way he does, seemingly out of nowhere. I mean, the most recent ejection was, I mean, look, it was a borderline call. I mean, there were three guys going up. I would expect him to get that call, but you didn't get the call. So you're going to get ejected for that? Like, he's losing his temper in, like, odd situations. It wasn't as though he just, like, broke his leg in half and there was no foul called, right? Like, you know, it's one thing to react.
Wasn't it like 2 seconds before the half?
Yeah, I mean, it was really close to halftime. It was towards the end of the half, and it was just, it was not the right time to get ejected. And in sports, there is definitely a right way and a wrong way to get ejected. And all five times, in my opinion, have been the wrong way. But with that said, again, the playoffs are coming, and I'm a big believer in the fact that guys know it's the playoffs and know they need to be on the floor. And they know that, you know, how many wins they got now? They got like 56 wins. They're 56 wins deep now into the season. None of that matters now. You're in the postseason. You got to be on the floor, and you got to get win number one. And I think that changes guys. If it doesn't change him, and he continues to get ejected, then I'm going to have a problem.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Lakers and Jazz tonight. I think this is a must-win for the Jazz. I think being where they are placed right now and looking at their schedule going forward, knowing you have these two games with the Lakers, one with the Clippers, that game at Portland really looms large.
Mm-hmm.
Those four games out of the five that you have, I think you've got to find a way to not make that game at Portland, as you said the other day on the show, a must win.
Yeah.
You can't go there having to win. I think this game tonight's a must win.
Yeah, you can't. And I thinking about what I said, I think the best way to say it is you can't go to Portland desperate and in a situation where, you know, you got to win to save your skin. You know, you got to go to Portland having essentially clinched. And really, the more important conversation here is you should be the four seed. Let's be honest about it. They're a better all-around team than the Spurs are.
Well, they should have beat Boston.
They should have beat Boston.
They played terribly in that game.
If they had beat Boston, a nameplate team, a team that a lot of people who don't follow the Jazz would say the Celtics should have beat the Jazz, and why was it so close? The Jazz should have beat the Celtics. And we talked about this the other day, too. So it's those kind of games. It's games like this tonight. It's games against Portland where they have to win in those biggest of moments. You cannot be mentally tired anymore. These are all playoff games moving forward, all of them.
You're currently a game out of the fourth spot.
Yeah, you're right there.
This is and tonight, that's why I say this Spurs-Clippers matchup, if the Jazz win and the Spurs lose, they're in the fourth spot.
Yeah.
They're in really good shape. And I feel like you can redeem yourself if you can win these next three. And that's why I think tonight for the Jazz is so important. And I hope the Jazz don't find themselves living and dying on the three tonight. It's tempting. The Lakers want to play up-tempo. They are going to bait you into a run-and-gun, shoot-em-up kind of game.
Right.
No Lonzo Ball tonight, by the way, for the Lakers.
Which is actually a big difference for the Lakers. The Lakers play a lot better with Lonzo.
Oh, huge difference.
Versus without Lonzo.
But you're going to see guys like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who's going to run.
Filling it up.
He's going to run arc to arc. He's going to shoot threes. And when he makes a couple, he's going to ball fake you and get a layup and a three-point play because he's going to get fouled.
Yeah.
That's the kind of game that you have to stay away from. And this is what I think we see with the Jazz. They shoot a lot of threes, and when they miss, it leads to a lot of fast break opportunities, those long rebounds off of threes,
yep.
Outlet passing so
well, I think
good right now.
It's really easy to fall into the three-point game, right? Like, it's easy to just do, and actually, KCP does this a lot for the Lakers. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope will literally bring the ball up the floor, or he'll be the outlet on a certain play. He'll run up to the arc and just shoot the three. It's really easy to do that in the NBA. It's
yep.
difficult to run offensive sets, and the Jazz are not talented enough across the board to just shoot threes and hope that they go in and think that you're going to beat really quality teams the rest of the way. You have to run offense, and then you have to suffocate teams defensively.
Yeah,
and
so
that's how you're going to win.
But you'll have no Brandon Ingram tonight who's in the concussion protocol, and you're going to have no Lonzo Ball tonight. Those are two real key cogs for this Laker team. So this is really going to come down to the Jazz ability to guard the three-point line and contain Randall in the paint.
And I don't know who's going to do that. I mean,
Derek Favors, probably.
Gobert is a great rim protector, but that only goes so far against a guy who's on a mission.
But what's going to happen here? It's not going to be Rudy versus Randall.
Yeah, but Rudy's going to be the help guy.
But Rudy, is he? Where's Rudy going to be? Rudy's going to have a hand up on Robin Lopez Brooke Lopez because he shoots the ball really well.
Yeah.
You know, he's a guy that by the way, he's day-to-day and questionable for tonight as well, Brooke Lopez. But, you know, he's a guy that shoots the three ball really well for his size. And you laugh, he's shooting 35% from three this year. That's a significant number for a center.
It is. It's really good. It's almost, I would even call it for a center elite. Like, it's excellent.
Yeah. He's a good three. And that's my point. This is going to be a real testing game for the Utah Jazz. Because if Rudy Gobert has to be on the perimeter with Brooke Lopez, that's going to open up a lot of space in that lane.
Yeah, that's a problem.
That's what will be interesting. Quinn Snyder's a hell of a coach, a really good tactician. So that's a game I'm really interested in watching. And, you know, just watching now this Cavs-Raptors game, DeLon Wright's making a huge difference, by the way, for the Raptors. Like, he's the former Ute product out of Utah is playing really well. So I love where the NBA is at. Now, my question, and I think that one of the biggest topics, and not a lot of people are talking about this today, Devin Booker hesitated when he was asked if he is still 100% committed to being with one team his entire career. Devin Booker, the fine, they call him a point guard. He's more of a two. And really, he can play from the one, the two, or the three in today's NBA. But Devin Booker, I think, is one of the elite shooters in the league right now. Devin Booker has said the entire time, his entire career, I want to be with the Phoenix Suns my entire career.
And why was that?
Because Jordan and Kobe played with, you know, they played with one team.
Yeah.
And Jordan was a Bull. He played for the Wizards, obviously.
Two years. But the majority of his career and his entire legacy is as a Bull.
He wants to be a one-team guy. So he was asked the other day, hey, has that changed after everything that's happened this year, Eric Bledsoe, just the disaster that this season's been, has that changed at all? And he essentially said, yeah, it kind of has. I'll make the decision when we get there,
yeah,
is what he said.
Yeah.
And I wrote about it today on the website, themontyshow.com, M-O-N-T-Y, themontyshow.com. This, to me, is a big, big deal. This is a very big deal because I've talked about the 2015 NBA draft hundreds of times on this show. It's one of the worst drafts I think that we have ever seen. I'll say again what I say every time we talk about it. 10 teams missed on Devin Booker because I still maintain that he is arguably the best player, but one of the two or three best players. I would rather have Devin Booker, frankly, than just about anybody else in that draft.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the Jazz were looking at. And I'm not trying to pick a scab because they turned Trey Lyles into Donovan Mitchell. So I'm not trying to do that. How do you draft Trey Lyles over Devin Booker?
Yeah, I don't know. And again, I'll just say that I think it's easy looking back now. You know, it's easy to say, well, obviously they should have drafted Devin Booker. Obviously, you know, Lindsey had something in front of him that said, you know, hey, you know, we need to go and get Lyles instead of Devin Booker. There's something here that says Lyles is the better pick. Obviously, that was not true, and obviously that hasn't worked out in any fashion until they went and got Donovan Mitchell. So, look, I think it's easy to go back to that draft and say, yeah, they missed. 10 teams missed. 10 teams made the same mistake. And now Devin Booker's at a point where he's playing for not a great organization, and not to be too harsh.
Horrendous.
I mean, it's just not a good organization.
It's horrendous.
And honestly, if I was Devin Booker, I would be out looking. I would be out. You know, who is Devin Booker talking to in the league every night? You know, like he knows people. You know that talked to players.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and this is, like you said, this is flown under the radar. Devin Booker is going to leave, in my opinion. I mean, that's all fine and dandy that you want to be a one-team player for 20 years, but that's not how the NBA works anymore.
How does he not? And again, Karl Anthony Towns goes number one. I'd probably rather have Karl Anthony Towns than Devin Booker. It's close.
Depends where you're at.
D'Angelo Russell, Devin Booker.
Yep.
Jahlil Okafor, Devin Booker.
Yep.
Kristaps Porzingis.
Devin Booker.
That makes him the best player in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
Because the other guys are Hezonja, Cauley-Stein, Moutier, Stanley Johnson, Frank Kaminsky, Justice Winslow.
Like, all those guys are just names. Devin Booker has actually done things in the league, right?
He's a star.
He's actually made a difference for a team. He's had several big moments. I don't remember what his all-time scoring high is. I think it's like 70 or something like that, right?
Yeah.
You know, so he's made a big difference for that team. But the problem is, you know, before the show we were talking about, this was supposed to be the breakout year for the Suns. And what has it been? Another dumpster fire. You know, like, it's just been an absolute joke. And so for me, Devin Booker, and I think a lot of young guys realize this, at, you know, once they're starting to get on the back end of that rookie contract. Hey, I'm not getting any younger. I need to make my money, sure, but I need to go and win, right? So I think he realizes that, and I do think Devin Booker wants to win more than a lot of other guys in that draft want to win, and I think he's seeing the fruits of that labor now.
I mean, to score 70 points on Boston at the Garden, that's awesome.
It's ridiculous.
why would you stay in Phoenix when you are going to be highly recruited? Now, he's under contract next year, and then his fifth year option, they're going to absolutely, they're going to do everything they can in Phoenix to keep him.
Right.
But Golden State, the Lakers.
I don't know. I don't see, like, see, I'd much rather see him go to the Lakers because I think his, with where he's at age-wise and where he's at lifestyle-wise, I think he fits in with that group of guys
Klay
more
Thompson
than he does.
Klay Thompson or Devin Booker?
Klay Thompson.
Absolutely, all day long, right? Mm-hmm. Who, the problem is, does Devin Booker take less money, let's say, to go to the Lakers? Which I don't think ever happens. The Suns would block that every day.
Right.
So is he the guy that goes to Boston?
Well, I think, is he the guy that takes less money to play with a superstar and learn from that star? Like, is he putting value on education and playing with elite Man. Talent and maybe going to the playoffs and losing but learning from that? Or is he the guy that wants to get his money and just, you know, try to do his best to win no matter what's around him? I don't know. It's hard to say.
What are the chances Devin Booker stays in Phoenix? Because I do think that's a chance. And I guess the real question then becomes, what are the chances that Devin Booker and this Suns group actually develop into something significant? What are the chances that this, that Josh Jackson and...
Josh Jackson is developing. And now looking at where Jackson is today versus when they drafted him, there's been a lot of development. He was an absolute joke the first half of the year. Okay.
Finding his way.
He's finding his way now. Like, he's much more aggressive. There's been an uptick in his play. Dragan Bender is another miss, in my opinion. I don't think he's ever going to be the guy they wanted him to be. And really, from my standpoint, if I'm Devin Booker, I'm not even looking at necessarily the group of guys I have around me. I'm more looking at what ownership and the front office is willing to do to bring talent to Phoenix. And I don't think, well, I know that the owner is not willing to put more money into payroll to get bigger players, bigger names in Phoenix. So for me, if he wants to win, he'll leave. If he wants to be a one-team legacy guy, he'll stay.
I don't think there's much you're hanging on to. TJ Warren is probably their second best player. I think T.J. Warren, who's under contract for, I think, four more years. Josh Jackson, obviously, is a rookie, so he's got it on his rookie contract. They're going to qualify him, obviously. I think those three guys are the only three guys you're married to. Because Marquese Chris, for me anyways, and I'm a huge fan of Marquese Chris.
Yeah.
You need to move him on. He's just not... In my opinion, the upside's just not there. Dragan Bender, the upside's just not there. And here's the real question. Much like the Arizona Diamondback conversation we always have, what moves are you going to make that are going to show me you're serious about moving to the next phase of your franchise?
Well, you're
going to
DFA Yasmani Tomas.
You're going to get rid of Chris Herrmann. He's no longer good enough to be on your team.
You're going to trade Marquese Chris while he's still got value rather than 5 years of terrible stats.
You are going to unload a guy like a Dragan Bender. You're going to, in my opinion, they have drafted well enough. They haven't developed well enough.
You got to let go of guys like Alex Len.
This next coach that they hire, because they will hire a new coach, this is a really, really important hire.
In the Devin Booker situation.
It will keep him here or it will push him out.
Yeah.
And it'll be really important that they hire. They need the next Steve Kerr, Luke Walton, the guy that's going to come in and teach you how to win. That's what they need. Because Devin Booker is, in my opinion, the next big deal.
Mm-hmm.
If he ever got away and wound up in a Chicago, a Cleveland, a major basketball market, New York, you know, think about any, he's not going to get better in Portland. He's not going to get better in Minnesota.
I don't know. I mean, what does better mean? What does getting better mean? Being, developing more as a
taking
grade
the
A
next
player?
Step, taking the next step, becoming an elite defender, and really locking down that jump shot so that you're making 42, 43% of your threes. That's the next step for him. Because he's already getting to the basket anytime he wants it. He's already making incredible game-winning shots. He's got handles. Really, it's defensive maturation.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to blow up into a superstar, Damian Lillard, playing in Portland. You're not going to blow up into a superstar playing in Oklahoma City. You need to,
what about Milwaukee? Because Milwaukee's the next thing coming.
No, you're not. Sorry, you're not. You won't. It's not going to happen. You know, and Devin Booker is a bright lights guy.
So he needs to go to L.A. then.
L.A. I frankly think Devin Booker would be great with the Knicks. He would do well in that bright light.
Man, that's just such a... The Knicks are just such an interesting saga because it seems like the last few years they just... It just hasn't worked out.
They're not better than the Suns, period. And now you don't know what the unicorn's going to be like coming off of this knee injury. I don't think they're in a better situation than the Suns. They don't have a better owner than the Suns, which
more
is saying
money.
Something.
More
they
money.
Have more money to spend. They have the ability to attract free agents, which
bigger market.
Which
they have assets to use
yes,
to get bigger names.
Correct. Are the Lakers a better organization than the Suns?
Yeah.
Because they're more ready to win.
Well, and they're a winning culture. It's the Lakers. The Suns are not a winning culture. They have won before, but they're not a winning culture.
I think this is a really critical decision for Devin Booker. I mean, this is a guy who think about it, if Kyle Korver was Devin Booker. If Devin Booker slid into Kyle Korver's spot with the Cavs.
I mean, it would be a different team. I also think the role players for the Cavs would be completely different because Devin Booker would be starting.
I mean,
the Jordan Clarksons of the world would be sitting a hell of a lot more.
Bro, can you imagine a guy like LeBron James who eats space? He requires triple teams. An elite passer from the paint, the driving kicks that LeBron sets up, guys like Kevin Love. And if you put a guy, a superstar, a driving kick superstar, a DeMar DeRozan, a LeBron James, I would even say a Russell
George.
Westbrook, a Paul George.
See, but that's the fascinating part about OKC. They should be that. Russell Westbrook should be that, and he's not.
He's too good a finisher. Russell Westbrook. And
right, but do you want to finish or do you want
that.
To win?
He doesn't need that.
Well, then he doesn't need to win.
Well, and I keep telling you that.
Yeah.
That's I guess this whole thing boils down to, is Devin Booker worth a max contract? There's no question he is.
To the Suns, he is. It's hard for me to gauge that because
Lakers.
Well, do they have LeBron and Paul George? Then no, Devin Booker's not worth a max deal.
Yeah.
He's not.
Probably not.
But to Devin Booker, that's a max situation.
Devin
you
Booker
need to
or
go there.
More important, Julius Randle or Devin Booker? And this is totally hypothetical because it's never
if they had
happen.
LeBron and Paul George?
Yeah.
Julius Randle. Is more important. Without them, though, Devin Booker is more important.
And you know where I think he would be ultimately the best fit? And I hate to say this because I can't stand him. San Antonio Spurs.
Maybe.
Because they're going to... If you traded Kawhi straight up for Devin Booker, you're probably not
a
better team.
It would have to be Booker and a pick.
You're not a better team. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, no,
if you made that trade...
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not falling off offensively. But defensively, Kawhi Leonard's an elite man-to-man defender.
He's
a defensive player of the year kind of guy. But anyway, my point is Devin Booker's a max contract, and he's a guy that a team like the Spurs could build a franchise around for a decade. The Suns are not that organization. They're just truly not. Make sure you find our website, themontyshow.com. Themontyshow.com. Hey, find our website, themontyshow.com. Okay, I'll stop being obnoxious now.
Hello.
Let's talk baseball.
Yes.
And if you're new to this show, if you're new to our website, if you're new to our podcast or Twitter, we are passionate baseball fans. And I look at what's going on five games into the season, and I'm kind of freaking out. I'm freaking
Overreactions.
Out.
Relax. It's five games, bro. Five games.
Here, let's start with the Cubs.
Okay,
here's
great.
The
perfect,
problem.
Perfect.
It's not five games. You know what it is? It's 167 games. Because I'm going to carry over what happened last year to this year because they're playing the same kind of ball this year.
Right, and they need to adjust. That's the difference. They might be playing the same.
Isn't that what spring training's for?
Not
to be
a
jerk.
It's not.
It's not?
No, hell no.
Batting?
Well, right, approach is one thing, but as a team, the problem isn't their... Well, I shouldn't say the problem isn't their approach. The problem for most of their hitters is not approach. For Kyle Schwarber, approach is a problem. For Avi Baez, approach is a problem.
See, Schwarber's actually having a decent year.
Well, but like... No, I know. Five games into the year, as odd as that is to say.
Yeah.
But like the other day, it was like the eighth inning, and Schwarber was in a prime position to drive in runs and struck out on
ball
splitter
in the dirt,
like
outside.
A foot outside. And so we were both upset about his approach there. But here's the difference. In spring training, Guys are working on their individual games. Nobody cares about winning in spring training. In the regular season, winning is the only thing that matters. And to win in baseball, you have to win collectively.
The good news is they set a record.
Yeah.
The bad news is it's a really bad record right. to set. 58 strikeouts in five games is a new National League record.
Ugh.
And the K rates, the strikeout rates amongst your core players.
Now, right off the top, real quick before you say it, right off the top, I would say Javi Baez leads this list. Just on a superficial level, he leads the strikeout frequency list.
He strikes out a lot, but he's not the leader. If you can,
surprisingly,
if you can believe that, I look at Javi Baez and he's striking out 25% of the time, Ooh. Which is not nearly as bad as Ian Happ's 55.5% of the time.
See, Ian Happ is a good example. Needs to work on the approach, right? Because what did he do?
But wait, he hit a leadoff home run the first pitch cares? Of the season. He hit a home run. It's who all cares? Good.
That was a cookie from a guy who's making his first start.
Arena, hello.
Yeah, who?
Yes.
Hello.
Hi.
He went deep, but now we play 162 games.
Yeah.
You got to just start making contact. And that's what the hitting coaches of the Cubs are stressing. Hit for contact, and good things will happen. You can't try to hit a home run.
See, here's my problem. And Anthony Rizzo, I'm not complaining about anything Anthony Rizzo does because I think the world of Anthony. I think he's our best player. And when I say we, I'm the 26th guy on the Cubs 25-man roster.
Right, you handle all the towels.
Yeah, I'm the guy. I pick up their jocks after the game. Anyway, point is. If you look at the Chicago Cubs, Anthony Rizzo should be your biggest problem, right? I mean, this is a guy that is going to turn things around. But it's guys like Addison Russell, and this is me being a complete freak out over the top Cub fan.
Mm.
Addison Russell really is your best player right now. He's 313 on batting average on balls in play. He's striking out only 8% of the time. Like he's doing the job. Problem is that's not who this guy's ever been.
Well, he needs to be that, though.
Well, maybe he'll turn that around, right? But I look at Kyle Schwarber, striking out 25% of the time, hitting home runs, hitting 294.
But what does that say? So we've now established that they are striking out a lot, and they're leaving a lot of guys on base, which, you're right, is exactly the same problem they had last year. Not so much
yes.
the strikeouts,
yes.
but leaving guys on base. You can't leave 10 guys on base and expect to win a baseball
game. No, you can't.
Can't do it. So for me, I agree. It is all about approach. They need to stop pressing. Go out there, look for the fastball, and adjust, right?
I don't think they're pressing. I think this may be who they are. Not this bad,
mm-hmm.
but this is who they are. Are you telling me that Javi Baez is ever going to do anything but swing from his heels?
No.
Because I'm telling you
I don't
you
think
won't.
He will. I think that's who Javi Baez is. He's always going to be the flashy guy. That's who he is personality-wise, and I don't think you're going to get him to change until you knock down his playing time.
And here's the real, real problem.
Yeah.
The Cubs are leaving hordes and piles of bodies on the base paths.
Yeah.
They are the 26th team leaving, I mean, an unbelievable 4.8 runners a game in scoring position.
Even if you were to execute half of those runs, you'd have had a win already.
Reds, Brewers, Phillies, and Mets are the only teams worse than the Cubs at that.
Yeah.
And the real striking thing is they left 4.67 runners in scoring position last year. So this is who they are. And I hate to say that, and I'm not trying to panic, but if you look at the teams at the top of the league, Let's play a little real or fake.
Mm.
Is what's going on with the Chicago Cubs? Okay, John Lester and Yu Darvish.
That's fake.
Jose Quintana.
It's real.
It's real.
It's real.
Jose Quintana.
He's not giving up six runs every game. He's going to give up three.
Once a month. Every four or five starts.
But
right?
That's fine. Every starting pitcher is going to do that, in my opinion. Unless you're having a Cy Young year. Unless you're having, you know, some great season. John Lester last year had several clunkers.
Can you just jump off the bandwagon and panic with
I'm
me?
Not.
I need a
because,
panic,
see,
bro.
This is the difference. I'm the realist bro over here. I'm telling you that they're going to lock this in. We were watching the Giants today. Longoria finally hit a home run.
Yeah.
Finally got off the schneid. The Cubs are going to do the same thing.
So the pitching staff for the Cubs, real or fake?
Oh, I think it's real. I think Quintana is the guy I'd be most concerned about. I was impressed with Chatwood's outing against the Reds. That was if he
I'd
could
like him not
that,
to walk so many dudes.
Sure, I totally agree with that. Walks will kill you in the Central, in really all of baseball. But that he's your fifth starter. That's a fine outing for him.
And maybe today's rainout, the Cubs got rained out in Cincinnati today. Maybe that gives you that extra day because Lester was supposed to pitch today.
Yeah.
Maybe that gives you that extra day to just kind of forget about it.
Yeah.
Hopefully that happens. Real or fake, the Washington Nationals just destroying people.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is real, but to the extent that they're doing it, I think is fake. Again, everything is going to even out. Right now, you have a lot of highs and a lot of lows. Like, the Cubs are really low. The Nationals are super high. The Astros are really high, and the Astros will stay high. The Astros are real. The Nationals are real, but I think they're going to come down a couple notches. Bryce will get into a slump at some point and then come out of that, and hopefully that's, you know, in time to go into the postseason.
Giancarlo Stanton striking out not one or two or three,
but 10 times.
5 times. All 5 times at the plate struck out today in the home opener. That's obviously fake. The Yankees hitting the way the Yankees are hitting because their lineup is doing exactly what we talked about. Is that lineup real? Or will the league come to that lineup?
Is DD Gregorius real with those home runs?
No, sir. Hold on. Real. Is DD Gregorius real or fake with that bat flip? He hit a ball into the second deck to put the game away today, and the bat flip was epic.
Yeah.
So I loved that.
Swag.
But that's who he is. DD Gregorius can turn on a fastball with anybody.
But that's why he plays for the Yankees, and that's why they signed him. Because, again, and this is what we talked about with Bird, right? The guy who's always hurt for the Yankees.
Yeah, Greg Bird.
That's why they like him so much, because you have the short porch. But, again, he's always hurt, so it doesn't matter. But DD is a guy who's going to be, you know, pretty healthy. He's a pretty reliable guy. So if he's giving you that kind of production, you know, if he's giving you a home run every, you know, 4 or 5 games, every 6, 7, 8 games, like if he's giving you frequency there, you're going to be in great shape, because that any player other than Judge, Stanton, and Sanchez who hit home runs just add to the pile.
Yeah, and the thing that really comes out to you is that Didi Gregorius is hitting .445 and he's got 20 total bases already. Not to be a stat nerd, but
how many at bats is that? .445 and how many at bats at this point?
18 at bats. And so that's not a huge number. It's
not a huge number.
It's 5 games.
Yeah.
We're playing real or fake after 5 games. Yeah. I get that.
Right.
But I look at a guy like a Brandon Drury's hitting .300. Walker.
That's fake. That's fake right there.
Neil Walker's hitting .235.
That's fake too. He'll go up.
I think he will go up.
He'll be in the 60s and 70s.
When I look at Giancarlo Stanton, he's hitting .211, but he's got 2 home runs already in 5 games. I don't think he's going to have the juggernaut kind of season that everybody thought he would. I think Aaron Judge will be the much more consistent performer there. He's comfortable. He's at home.
I mean,
it's
I
not
think,
new.
You know, what contributes, in your mind, what contributes to Stanton not having a big season?
I think he's the guy that they will pitch around. Because, he won the MVP last year. He hit a ton of home runs. You know who he is. I've said before, and I'll say again, I'm not letting them go back-to-back on me. If Gary Sanchez wants to beat me, knock yourself out. Judge and Stanton will not go back-to-back on me. It's not going to happen. To the point where if we're in a close game and Judge hits one and you know we're a 1-run lead over the Yankees, I'm just putting 4 fingers out on Stanton.
Well, of course, yeah.
Go ahead. Go on down. And maybe that's the, I don't know, the hazard of batting them 2 and 3. I don't know. It's a great problem to have, but Stanton's, there's always an adjustment period for big time guys going to New York. And I think Stanton will come to that a little bit. I still maintain that they're not going to pitch well enough and they're not going to win a world championship. But I think they are the best team in the American League.
Yeah.
Although real or fake the Boston Red Sox, cause they're catching everything that's hit at them. I'm not even sure how you explain the fact that the Red Sox are not killing people, but man, they're getting unbelievable performances out of guys like Bogarts and Mookie Betts and, you know, Benintendi, and they're catching everything. And by the way, Hanley Ramirez is hitting home runs again. That team's really dangerous. You don't buy it. So you're not buying the Red Sox. What don't you like?
I don't know. There's just something missing for me. I mean, yeah, they play great defense, but David Price is going to miss 5 starts. There's no question about that. He has and will again. Chris Sale is going to dominate everybody until we get to the postseason. I hope he changes that. I don't want to be talking about that again, you know, 5 months from now.
Yeah.
But I just think they don't have – there's a certain swag about the Astros and the Cubs. Like, I don't know what that is. Like, even though the Cubs are struggling – You fear the Cubs. You know at any time they'll put up 10, and all of a sudden they're going to be putting up 4 and 5 runs a game again.
I'm right now today on April 3rd, 5 games in, panic button. The Nationals are a better team. The way that they went through that rotation first time out.
Well, they have better talent, man.
Well, in the rotation they do.
Yeah.
But who thought that Darvish and Lester would just be absolute piles of burning
dung? Dude, I've
dung.
Been telling you all offseason that Lester's on the downhill. I'm not saying he sucks. I'm not saying he's not quality.
You just need, 10, you the, just need 10 wins from the guy.
He's not the same Lester that he used to be. I think he is more vulnerable now. He is so reliant on getting first pitch strike. When he doesn't get that, I think he's in an awkward position. And then you consider the fact that he's doing this whole bounce the ball over to first base thing that's tremendously awkward. I just think he's going to be in interesting situations time and time again, and that's tough to deal with as a starter.
I'm probably a terrible human being for this, but I'm not looking forward to John Lester not being a Cubs starting pitcher anymore, but this thing throwing over to first base is a real problem.
It is.
And for an elite pitcher, you
is he elite still?
Ask me in a month. Because what I saw the other day really scared me, because he's never been a guy that walks dudes.
Yeah.
And the other day in Miami, he couldn't find the strike zone, and he had a huge lead.
Yeah.
And walked a bunch of guys and walked the Marlins right back into the game.
Yeah.
And that scares you a little bit when a veteran like Lester can't find the strike zone on opening day. They're programmed not to be nervous, guys like John Lester.
I don't know that he was nervous. I think it was probably something else. And
well,
I don't
if
know
he
what
wasn't
is.
Nervous, I'm screwed. Because I'm holding on to hope that John Lester was nervous.
Yeah.
And was gripping the ball a little bit. And I'm holding out hope for that.
I was happy with you, Darvish. I know that he didn't pitch the best, but I'm happy with where he's at.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Ohtani looked really good. By the way, real or fake?
Fake.
Shohei Ohtani's fake.
I don't think it's going to happen all year.
Well, they're going to let him get a shot because Matt Shoemaker's on the disabled list.
Well,
with
he's going to pitch. I'm not saying he's not going to pitch. He will pitch. My thing is he needs to continue to keep making adjustments. And that splitter will make or break him. If he can
Absolutely.
Figure out how to throw that splitter Absolutely. The right way, I mean, he's going to dominate. But again, ask me, it's what you said, ask me in a month, let me see 5 starts, and we'll see where he's at.
That A's team can hit.
Yeah, well, it's the American League, you really should always be able to hit.
It's interesting, though, that Melanson and Shoemaker have the same issue, that forearm tightness and that forearm strain that never goes away.
I have so little tolerance for guys like Melanson, who are big-name pitchers coming from a National League contender
Pittsburgh.
And then are nobody.
San Francisco.
You've been a nobody. Like,
that's not fair. Is that fair?
What did he do last year that made him anybody?
Well, no, he lived on the disabled list. He was nothing.
He's been a waste of money so far.
Oh, 100%. I agree
with
that.
This whole Will Myers injury to me is interesting because I feel like your tricep is, there's some swelling at the bottom of your tricep. You either didn't take care of your arm in the offseason or there's something seriously wrong. You don't get tricep soreness unless you've just been, you know, throwing your arm away or you just weren't in shape or something. I don't know.
Well, he's a big weightlifter. He's a strength trainer. Listen, Will Myers, I really like Will Myers. I don't know about Will Myers in the 2-hole in that lineup, okay? They're 0-4 or whatever it is. They're much better than that.
Record doesn't reflect anything 5 games in.
Will Myers, to me, is not the guy that I'm hitching my wagon to. And their owner, Ron Fowler, made those comments earlier, like real early in spring, excuse me.
Yeah.
About Will Myers not being the face of a franchise.
And you actually had a pretty big reaction to that.
It was a huge mistake.
What? Him not being the face of the franchise?
No, them saying that out loud, because that sets Will Myers up to fail. And you bring in a guy like Hosmer who gets the single largest contract in the history of Padres baseball.
But again, in comparison. Ever. In comparison.
Right, but in comparison almost doesn't matter. What my point is, when you hand a guy the biggest contract you've ever given out in a franchise like Eric Hosmer, what does that say to Will Myers, who probably should have been the guy to get the biggest contract ever? Oh, you didn't live up to our expectations, and you're not our guy anymore.
Dude, I don't know that I agree it sets him up to fail. It depends on who he is as a guy. You're either going to fail after you hear that, or you're going to be motivated and have a big year.
Would you at least agree that it doesn't take the pressure off of Will Myers. Because what did they do? They put him in the two hole right in front of Hosmer.
Protection.
Well, it hasn't really worked out. And Will, he's only played three games. He's only had 12 at-bats. He's hitting 250. He finally hit a home run. And now he goes out. He's hurt again. And it just is one of these things. This is where you get that feeling that a guy is just, this is Hunter Pence comes to mind last year. Pablo Sandoval 2 years ago. Like, there's guys who you're just like, just sit him down for the rest of the, because he's going, this is Will Myers 2018. This is who Will Myers is. He's going to be injured and he's going to disappoint a fan base
right.
that loved him because he's never going to be as good as Eric Hosmer.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm making way too much of that.
Well, he's never going to be Eric Hosmer. There's no chance. Eric Hosmer is a superior hitter and in my opinion, a superior defender.
And Jake, I'm not saying they did anything. The Padres did nothing wrong.
No, they did everything right.
Other than say Will Myers was never going to be the face of this franchise. He's not that guy. I think that was a big mistake. Because, by the way, Eric Hosmer does not care about being face of the franchise. I mean, you could put the whole team on that guy's back and he's fine.
Well, because he's always been that.
Yeah. But I really hope that Will Myers plays the way he's capable of. I just don't think it'll be in San Diego.
There's a lot of people saying that he was primed for a big year. I don't know that I agree with that. Mm-hmm. I don't know that you can say he was primed for a big year. All that means is he didn't have the year last year that he wanted to have, and now all of a sudden he's got to have a big year this year. No, that's not actually the case, in my opinion. He's got to have a big year this year and be healthy and play a lot of games because Eric Hosmer is here now.
Yes.
And Eric Hosmer is going to show you how it's done because he's always done that in his career, and I would guess he'd do it again here. He's you know, happy to be in San Diego. He wants to be the guy. He's always been the guy with Kansas City. You know, he's going to go out and show you the goods. But will Myers do that? I don't know. He can't do that if he's on the 10-day all year.
Will Hunter Renfro do that? Because he's not an everyday player in my mind.
He's
Hunter
not.
Renfro, right?
He's not. He's a power bat.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be that. But I look at some of the other guys. Like, I really like, I consider the Padres core to have changed significantly. In my mind, it's Galvis, Asuaje, Margot, Hosmer, Perella, maybe he can hit, but I don't know what he can do. Anything other than that. Chase Headley's a placeholder at third base. Hunter Renfro's not a long-term guy. Austin Hedges, who's going to miss his second game tonight. AJ Ellis is behind the plate. That tells you that probably Austin Hedges is hurt.
Maybe.
And that's because Perdomo wore his ass out the other day.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, Austin Hedges, with the staff that they have, is going to have to work. And any catcher behind the plate catching for them is going to have to work hard.
Yeah.
And I think you can't catch a guy 5 days in a row. You can't do it. But it is odd that he's missing two in a row. Missing two in a row says to me that your knees are sore, your legs are tired, you have an injury. Exactly. Like, there's something nagging you.
I don't think
you.
He's hurt. Saying he's hurt is too strong.
He needs rest.
Yeah, he's just a little dinged up, probably. His legs are probably sore.
He's got a catcher injury.
Yeah, that Perdomo start the other day, he was in the dirt on his knees, blocking balls constantly.
Oh, he
constantly.
Did a fantastic job.
Oh, yeah. But that's an ass-kicking.
Yeah.
When you're asked to do that, no, I'm good. He probably blocked 30 pitches in that game.
At least.
I mean, it was,
saves them several runs.
It was pretty remarkable. Real or fake, the Padres are winless. Will they go 0-162?
Nope. I think they're not going to finish last either in the West.
I was more kidding. By the way, Jake Lamb on the disabled list for the Diamondbacks.
Another guy
sprained
that
sprained AC joint.
Okay, great. Like, he needs to show me something. How are you not capable of hitting left-handed pitching? I get that he was an All-Star once. And the reason he was an All-Star is because they pushed the hell out of him. And he got a lot of votes from their fan base.
Yes,
like,
he did.
A lot. Like, they ran campaign after campaign, and they got him.
But I thought
elected.
He deserved it. I mean, he hits big home runs for them.
Yeah.
I mean, but I think it's a pretty significant injury for them.
I can't buy into a guy who sits against left-handed pitching as a left-handed hitter. I can't do it.
I would play him against everybody.
Oh, I would too.
I don't care who
but
it is.
But again, we're not big league managers, and Torrey Lovello clearly doesn't believe in his ability to hit left-handed pitching.
Well, he didn't play him against Kershaw in the playoffs, if memory serves, right? Like,
yep.
I mean, he sat him a lot. He hit 144 with five home runs, 19 RBIs, and 54 strikeouts, 20 walks against lefties last year.
Not good enough.
But not that's enough, not man. Nothing, right?
Dude, it's 144. The biggest stat there is 5 home runs. Like
19 hits and 132
ABs. Give me
250.
That's all I'm asking you for. Yeah. Give me a base hit here and there.
Give me 200.
Yeah.
But how do you get better against lefties if you never face him? What? I think you got to run him out there. He's a young player. I mean, what is this? His third or fourth
year? But is
year?
He a cornerstone of their franchise for the next 10 years?
Yes, he is. He has gotten much better defensively at third. And he can hit. He's a 30-something home run guy.
Yeah,
he's a guy that I could see moving from 30 home runs. I think he had 30 last year to 40. I can see that. Jake Lamb's a good young hitter.
Yeah, he'll never see 40 until he learns how to hit left-handed pitching.
I think you got to play him. I think you got to play him against left-handed pitching.
But are they real? I don't think they're real. I don't think they're a playoff team this year. I think injuries will mount on them just like they did last year. You can't tell me that Nick Ahmed's going to play the whole year.
Boy, he is raking for them, though.
Oh, he's a good player. But he's never shown the ability to play the entire year and be good.
No, I would agree with that. So you don't think they're 3-1. They're in first place.
Okay, relax. Relax. Jesus, relax.
That's amazing. Well, what do you make of Kenley Jansen with the Dodgers, though?
He'll be fine. It's
Did
not
you
a
hear
deal.
What he said today? They asked him last night. He gives it up, right? Owings takes him deep. Or I can't remember who took him. Somebody took him deep, and Owings won the game.
Point is, he didn't close the game.
Yeah, he doesn't. He blows the save. After the game, the LA media says to him, "What are your thoughts on this? Who cares? It's April. We're 5 games
That's
in.
What
who cares?
I'm saying. It doesn't matter.
I love it.
Matter.
I absolutely
Dude, Kenley
love
Jansen
it.
Kenley Jansen is one of the best closers in the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Truth.
I mean, you can put him right there next to Kimbrel. It just depends who you want.
Yeah, I don't think the real or fake, it's fake that the Diamondbacks are not going to hit home runs. I think they've only got
fake.
2 in the first 5 games or something. But I don't think, like, Taijuan Walker, their pitching has not been good.
You and I have been on the same team as far as their pitching goes. They are not elite in their starting rotation. They're not.
In Arizona, I have a lot of respect for Phoenix fans. We have a ton of Phoenix listeners on this show. The Diamondbacks rotation is...
Bro, you've got 2 pitchers and really only 1 at this point. Greinke had a nice little outing the other day.
A really nice outing. 5 2/3, 5 hits, and earned run. That earned run, by the way, was a home run. He looked really good.
At 87, he looked really good.
Yeah, but the slider, he's matured into a soft-tossing pitcher because that slider is something else.
I know it's something else.
I mean,
else,
it's
but I'm just,
really good.
But I'm just telling you, when you're soft-tossing, when you're the Kyle Hendricks of the world, when you're the Greinkes of the world, when you're living in that 87 to 90 range, you better go out there every time and have pinpoint control. And if you don't, it's 450 feet. We'll see you later.
Yeah, Greinke, Corbin, Ray, Walker. I was really surprised Robbie Ray struggled so much. All of this to say the Dodgers should win the division. I mean, if they can...
I don't know. I'm not ready to say they should win the division. I'm saying they're the favorites until the Giants dethrone them. Because what we saw today from the Giants shows me that the Giants are capable.
Oh, yes.
It's whether they're going to do it or not.
Oh, yes. They are more than capable. Yeah, no question that the LA Dodgers should win the division. I don't think it's too strong to say they should. Will they? That's a different question. Because I'm not ready to give up on my Padres third in the division conversation just yet.
Yeah.
But I'm really surprised that without hitting the ball out of the yard, that the Diamondbacks are in first place. And they've been able to play
Well, they've been able to produce runs without hitting home runs, which is always nice. That you always want to see that. And I think if you look at their lineup, they're built to do that. I mean, you have Goldschmidt, you have Lamb, you know, so you have power hitting of sorts. But look, you have to be able to produce runs without relying on the long ball.
Yeah. I'm looking at the ERAs of the LA Dodgers, and I'm just like, wow. Maeda Hill and Alex Wood were unbelievable. Clayton Kershaw has a 1.5 ERA, and he's not leading his club in the first week of the season.
But the difference is Kershaw's going to stay there. Those other guys aren't.
Yeah. Well, Hinjin Ryu's the only guy that really struggled. So Alex Wood's going to be a 2-point ERA guy this year. You watch.
Yeah.
Call me crazy. You watch. Anyway, that's real or fake. Real or fake, before we get out of here, Donald Trump attacking Amazon again. This is amazing to me. I wrote about it on the blog today, themontyshow.com. Themontyshow.com is our website. I wrote about this today. And I'm a little surprised to see him going after Jeff Bezos and Amazon, especially since the Trump campaign took full advantage of Amazon when he was running for president and spent tons of money with them.
Why wouldn't you?
The president is basically saying, my name is Dutard and I don't like Amazon, because he claims they're taking advantage of bulk shipping rates with the post office. Well, I don't think that's Amazon's problem. It's not like Amazon's not paying their bill. They're just taking advantage of the system.
And by the way, Amazon's keeping the post office in business.
Right now they are. Absolutely. I think this is much more about Donald Trump's dislike of the Washington
Post.
As usual,
it's a personal vendetta.
Yes, because Jeff Bezos, the owner of Amazon, the founder of Amazon, also owns the Washington Post, who is largely critical.
Fake news.
is largely critical of Donald Trump, the Washington Post is.
Yeah.
I think that's much more what it's about. And I linked a political article, Politico, political.com. I linked one of their articles on the website today that essentially says Amazon's stock dropped 75.35 points or 6.21%. Part of a larger Wall Street sell-off, which is having a really difficult stretch here.
Yeah.
Amazon has lost over $35 billion in stock value just this week from President Trump ripping them on Twitter. And it's like,
he's not going to stop the machine.
Why are you trying to cripple? And I guess no offense if you're a Trump voter, because I'm not saying you're dumb, but I would hope you regret. Anyway, I'll move on. The point is, if you're Donald Trump, why are you attacking one of the building block companies who have emerged that represents the American dream? Why are you attacking Amazon?
Right.
Like, this makes no sense whatsoever.
No, I mean, Amazon is the American dream. I mean, they are quintessential, you know, start from nothing, and all of a sudden you have this big-ass company that is serving millions of people, and now you're attacking them because you don't like your friend, your alleged friend. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand. Like, why are you wasting time on this? Why don't you waste time on the Russian scandal that's breathing down your neck? Or, like, all these other big things that are on his plate, yet you're picking a fight with Amazon on Twitter.
The Washington Post's executive editor said that Donald Trump completely made up the idea that the Washington Post is run by Jeff Bezos, who apparently only owns it by money and has never been there and is never involved in editorial process.
Nothing.
And pays their bill 100% with the post office. Like, I just don't understand it. Anyways, make sure you find us online, themontyshow.com. You can find us on Twitter, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show on Twitter. By the way, thank you for watching this show live every day, 5 Pacific on Periscope, which you can find on our Twitter. And, of course, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud. Guess what our name is? The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show on iTunes, SoundCloud, themontyshow.com, and The Monty Show on Twitter. Until tomorrow, say goodbye, Jake.
Goodbye, Jake.